For freedom, Christ has set us free. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Sometimes I'm tempted to read a line like that and just sit down. The 4th of July is coming up, and it is a time for thinking about freedom. And Paul is very obliging for us today. When we think about freedom in this country, it's clear that Lady Liberty reigns as queen among the virtues. I almost might say we are obsessed with freedom. This is certainly true as the 4th of July looms, but what do we mean by freedom? What does it mean to be free? I do think it's interesting that we celebrate the 4th of July as our principal national holiday and not September 17th. For some reason, we celebrate our independence more than we celebrate that which binds us together, September 17th being Constitution Day. So, let's just take an example from the film Clue. Exactly where you thought I was going, I know. It's based on the Milton Bradley board game. Some of you haven't seen the film, so let me just walk through it a little bit. A group of socialites in the 1950s all gather at some New England mansion, and they are gathered there by Wadsworth the butler, who's played by Tim Curry. Magisterial performance, comedic timing impeccable. Anyway, they're all in this New England mansion when various persons, the cook, the maid, a few passers-by, begin turning up dead. Of course, it's Clue. Beginning with the appropriately named Mr. Body, the group then, in uproariously comic fashion, tries to discover who killed them, with what, and where. One of the passers-by who turns up in the course of the evening is a cop. When he shows up at the front door, everyone is still in a bit of a panic, having found three dead bodies already. And Mr. Green shows the cop all around the mansion before the suspicious officer wants to look in the two rooms where the bodies are. So, when he looks in those rooms, though, the other members of the group have arranged the various bodies in a very Weekend at Bernie's sort of thing, where they appear to be drunk or otherwise part of a carefree party. And the cop surprises Wadsworth coming out of another room, and he says, "You're too late. I've seen everything." Wadsworth blurts out, "Officer, I can explain," thinking the cop means he's seen the dead bodies. "You don't have to. There's nothing illegal about any of this." "Are you sure?" "Hey, man, this is a free country. Don't you know that?" To which Wadsworth replies, "I didn't know it was that free." Well, of course it's not that free. Of course by freedom we do not mean that one can do just anything they want in this country. So what is it we mean by freedom? What are the limits of freedom? There are two ways, at least, to think about freedom. Now, of course, there's July 4th, we celebrate our independence from. That is to say, we celebrate the independence of the American colonies from the British Empire and their oppressive policies, right? That is what we fundamentally celebrate on Independence Day, or commemorate on Independence Day. We, by extension, celebrate all the other freedoms that we enjoy. So one way to think about it is as freedom from, and especially freedom from others. It's a very popular flag. I think you all know it, the Don't Tread on Me flag, which was originally designed in 1775 as a Don't Tread on the Colonies sort of thing. And is often used, though, to say, "I'm not responsible for all of the rest of this. Just stay out of my business," right? So freedom from other people is one way to think about freedom. But those of us who claim to follow Jesus might want to look at the scriptures for inspiration. It's a thing that is encouraged occasionally. And today, St. Paul offers us something to consider. He says, for freedom, Christ has freed us. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. But through love, become slaves to one another. Now, this is a view of freedom from the perspective of the kingdom of God. At the very beginning of the letter, Paul writes to the Galatians, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age." For Paul, Christ is a liberator, freeing us from the present evil age, freeing us from all of the assumptions that we bring into the world and that we are shaped with, freeing us from everything that keeps us from following Jesus and being about the work of the kingdom, which in large part means freeing us from ourselves. Freeing us from the works of the flesh, as Paul puts it. And what are those works? Well, we like to focus on the sexy bits, right? Fornication, drunkenness, sorcery, carousing, and the like. Or maybe we like to ignore those. I'm like, huh. But a full half of Paul's list of vices is a series of near synonyms: enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy. 8 words to say essentially the same thing: not loving your neighbor. More than anything, Paul identifies antipathy toward our neighbors as the work of the flesh, as opposed to the spirit. As Paul says, following Jesus, the whole law can be summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because loving your neighbor as yourself is not the opposite of freedom, but its very heart. Now, this is a hard lesson to learn. We are so prone to treating others with suspicion, to treating outsiders with suspicion and blaming victims. The Samaritans and the Jews famously did not get along. The Samaritans worshipped at Mount Gerizim, and the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. And so when the Samaritans found out that Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, they said, "Oh, no thank you very much." Outsiders, weird. Or actually worse than that. It really was a hate-hate relationship there. So it's not at all surprising that the Samaritans did not take to Jesus in the gospel lesson. Just as our country is failing to aid the refugees coming to our borders, I might add. Consider that Jesus, the Son of Man, has nowhere to lay his head. Doesn't that sound familiar? Well, what do the disciples say, James and John? They think they've got this figured out. "Do you want us to be like Elijah, Lord, and call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Because they are not like us. They don't think like us, and they are clearly set against us. "Do you want us to destroy those who do not receive us? Do you want us to obliterate those that do not think like us?" But that is not love. And so Jesus turns around and rebukes them. Who do we want to call fire down upon? Take a moment to think now. I think we can all think of somebody or some group that we are willing to write off if push comes to shove. Who are they? And when we've got them in our minds, I hope we hear Jesus' rebuke. That's not love. That's not freedom. That's fear. But perfect love casts out fear, and perfect love is perfect freedom. For freedom, Christ has set us free. That does not mean we are free from our responsibilities towards others. That does not mean we are free from the burden of caring for all our neighbors, whether they're Americans or not. That does not mean we are free from the claims others make on our lives. Rather, the deeper, the greater freedom is that we are free now to dedicate our lives for others. We are free for love in action. We are free to become slaves to one another through love, as Paul says. And I would suggest the same wisdom is even in the history of our own nation. On July 4th, we celebrate Independence Day, but mere independence is not freedom. Independence is still precarious. It leaves us vulnerable, which is why we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, did ordain and establish a constitution of the United States. Now, I'm not saying this is a divine document. I'm only pointing out that the founders of this country also knew that true freedom can only be found in being bound together. Lilla Watson, an indigenous Australian activist, gave voice to a deep truth when she said, "If you have come here to help me, you are wasting your time. But if you have come because your liberation is bound up with mine, then let us work together." True freedom means our liberation is bound up with the liberation of all. Our freedom is bound up with the freedom of all. And true freedom does not mean just being free from the fetter, then. It means fettering ourselves to each other in love. One of my favorite 19th century writers, John Ruskin, wrote, "You will find on fairly thinking of it that it is his restraint which is honorable to man, not his liberty." For Ruskin, what was honorable and noble was not the exercise of liberty, but the exercise of restraint, of self-control. I'm pretty sure I heard that somewhere in the lesson today. I think it was Paul again. And I think we can do one better on Ruskin, because it's not just self-control or restraint that is the honor of each of us, but our capacity for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and gentleness too. For these are the glory of truly free human beings. These are the fruit of the Spirit. And as Paul says, against these there is no law. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. As July 4th approaches, we honor our liberty. That is to say, we honor that this is a country where we can come together freely, without fear of being harmed in any way. And we do honor that. We ought to, and we ought to honor the sacrifices made so that is possible. Only let us use that liberty to go on to a greater and better freedom. Through love, becoming slaves to one another, becoming slaves to our black and brown neighbors who still suffer the effects of real slavery. Becoming slaves to our queer brothers and sisters and siblings who have suffered in the church. Being slaves to our children and making every effort to stop damaging the planet that we will pass on to them. Being slaves to the refugees at our borders. to those dying for a chance to live, and for those held in inhumane conditions in the detention facilities. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love, become slaves to one another. Amen.